fighters, welcome to the Contractor Fight Podcast. Just like every other Tuesday, today we're going to dig into the topic of sales. We're going to talk all things communication, sales, money mindset, how your brain should approach the sales game, and some other cool actions for you to take consistently that will move the sales needle. Appreciate you guys being here. Give us a review. Share this episode with another contractor that you know could use it. And without further ado, let's talk about sales. All right, welcome to the Contractor Fight Podcast. I'm Tom. I'm with Derek and Steve. We have a topic today. I sent a message to you guys yesterday. This will be interesting because none of us knows what anyone's going to say. And this is, I said, guys, three ways you're pushing your buyers away. I thought it would be a good topic because I think there's a lot we do as salespeople that push people away. And what I said is we each come up with one thing to share and none of us know what the other one's going to share. And there might even be some crossover, right? Which is totally fine. But I think this is huge because a lot of the things that I see salespeople do, they think it's helping the sale. Oftentimes it's not. So let's dig in. Who wants to go first? I can go first. You guys can go first. Doesn't matter to me.
I'll step up.
All right.
What the hell? I thought about this. I'm glad you gave me a little bit of notice. And I thought about the two greatest things I learned to do but with sales. And I'm going to sum it up. Peter Drucker says it the best. He goes, the most important thing in communication is hearing what isn't said. I used to answer the phone and throw up. Then I learned to ask questions and STFU, which if you don't know what that acronym means, is shut the fuck up.
Yep.
And start to hear these people. I never heard a single person, I bet in 35 years of business. I bet I never truly heard anybody. I made a lot of money in spite of my stupid self.
Mm-hmm.
But I started to really listen to people and listen to the shit that's not actually put into words. Then I started to really do well. But it took me 35 goddamn years.
So say that quote again from Drucker.
Drucker says, the most important thing in communication is hearing what isn't said.
So what would be an example of that in recent memory, recent years in your businesses, that would be an example of what that would sound like, what's not being said?
Well, it generally goes like this. When you get a hold of a couple, mm-hmm. two people that own a house and they want to fix it up in some fashion, you're normally talking to one of these people and you're not hearing anything from the other person. I learned a little tagline. It's like number four in our little five-step Shin Fu, which is there anybody else there that is interested in this project like the two of us are? Because mm-hmm. if there is, I want to talk to them. So there's half the equation, sometimes way more than that, actually, right? Not saying a word, and you don't know what's going on that third leg of the stool. Mm. Until you find out the third leg of the stool, you'll just tip over, and you'll be gone. I mean, that's probably the majority of the reason people go out and get rejected, you know, immediately out of the backyard, or even worse than that, after a two-hour tap dance, because they never really talked about what wasn't said by the other person that was interested in having the job done.
You know, step one is motive in our prequel. And we talk about the importance of the motive and to spend time in the motive. And we make all these assumptions, you know, like they're going to give a shit about how much this costs. And they're going to give a shit of what kind of spray tip I use to spray their doors, or, you know, all these other technical things. And we never, and there's all this unsaid stuff on their end that we didn't dig out of them. I love that. So, Derek, what does that look like to you, Steve's thing? Like, well,
I'm gonna tie on to what he said that leads into to mine.
Okay, cool.
And simply because I've been doing this for a minute, and I'm pretty goddamn good at sales now, which translates into I'm really good at listening. Mm-hmm. And so I find myself kind of not going back to the way I was, because that's impossible. It's just getting a little lazy. So scheduled phone call, I'm on there. It feels very robotic. She wants a pond. She sent me the pictures. We're talking about it a little bit, and she went right to pricing, which is cool. Like, all right, let's talk to price. Like, yes. And then she said, well, what's your smallest? What's your largest? And like, she's just trying to jockey and find a space, and she's going to be on the lower end. So with that, we kind of got to the point where, you know, all right, that's the price. Thank you for sharing that with me. And then I went, okay, I'm not doing something right. And I just said, can I just ask one question? She's like, sure. I was like, what makes you want to even have a pond? And she's like, lights up. And she's like, oh, where we live. It's like, and she went right here. She's like, we hear the turtle doves in the morning cooing. And we've got this amazing landscape. And it's just like, we go out there, we have our coffee, and we're just missing this element. I'd really like to have some koi. She goes into this whole thing, and I'm kind of like, hairs are standing up. Like, wow, she's painting this picture. So that ties into what Steve says, listening. And I had to just ask one question because we were done. Uh-huh. And I was ready to just like, cool, gave her price, moving on. So that's where it ties in. But here's the thing. Here's where I think it makes it hard for people to do business with us and we drive them away is not having something to show them and experience. And that's the benefit of Pond World. Yeah. And because I have a place. And with that, I said, you know what would make the most sense now is come to my garden center and see it and feel it. Because your space sounds amazing, but I think if you walk into my space, you're going to feel exactly what it is that can transpire into your space. So why don't we just start there? Now, I would make it harder. I think people make it hard to do business with us is when you don't have the pricing, you don't have things prepared, you don't have things structured, you don't have conversations ready, you don't have a website in place, you don't have displays. You're really making it difficult for customers to do business with you when they can't see it, smell it, know it, understand it. Shop for it at 2 a.m. in the morning. And you guys know I'm big on that. Just making sure the assignment selling, I think, is a huge deal. And I think it's so underrated to not spend a lot of time just having your stuff ready for people, packaged. But then also in a feeling, I know in other trades it's probably difficult, but you know what? Start a pond company.
Well, I think there's a lot of things that we can show people that are confirm what you're saying, even if you're not a company like a water feature company that has something you can physically touch and feel, but it's they can have a better experience with you, right? And the way you communicate and the things that Steve was talking and the way we connect with people, all those things are tangible as well. Mine was, I thought about like, you know, low hanging fruit things like just communicating quickly with people, right? Like, that when you drag on forever, you push people away. That's not mine. I'm going to share a few that are not mine. There's things like offering financing or credit cards. Believe it or not, a lot of people buy because I remember getting $25,000 paint job one time because they wanted the airline miles because they had a vacation planned. Like that was their reason. That's how they wanted to pay for it, right? I don't care. And so there's all these different things. But for me, it came down to I think we drive potential customers away by the way we represent ourselves, meaning the example that we live by, how we show up, our physical appearance, the way we communicate, the pride that you carry yourself with, the confidence, all these things. So I want everybody to think right now, like if you, and I'm going to ruffle some feathers here, but like if, and I'm sorry, no, I'm not sorry, because it's just me, fuck it. When I see somebody get out of their truck and walking up to my house as a contractor and they're obese, I can't help but just go, what other areas of their life or business are fucking out of shape? Because the way you do one thing is the way you do everything. So I'm not saying you got to be a fucking bodybuilder. I'm not saying you got to be a Boy Scout. I like my tequila and all that other stuff. But like, I just think like when I see a guy have a dirty truck, you know, Derek, I know you're a stickler for a dirty truck. I think the example, that initial presentation of ourself, the way we represent ourselves, our brand, it could be your website, the ease of using it, the typos in a text that you send, all these things together to me mean the example you're setting of how you show up. I think that pushes a lot of people away and it reduces confidence. And I know I touched on the physical part there because I just see such a connection between how I do my job and how I take care of my mind and my body. So, and Derek's smiling. He's like,
you know, this is I wish I would have videoed this yesterday. So I'm in the kitchen. I'm just kind of, I'm getting a drink ready. And then I hear Erin says, "Hey, baby, come here, hurry. And I'm like, what's going on? I walk in, she's looking out the front window. She's like, you should see this truck. It took them four times to back into this driveway. And she's like, I know you're really good at backing trailers in. It's like, you need to see this, but they ran over the flowers. And then I'm watching them and I see them like kind of pull back up. And it's just like, oh, this is not good. When they get out of the truck, dude, it's actually two women and a guy. And one of them, the girl, she had a cutoff t-shirt on. She had her hair in pigtails, which is fine. But then she had super, super short jean shorts on and she was wearing like cowboy boots. And it was just like, probably really cool look on the weekend, right? Like, it's just like, to go to a festival or something. It's like, go to a concert. Like, you got to, it's like, and then the other one gets out, wife beater on, and just like some khaki shorts. And it's just like really, really exactly what you're describing. Old beat up pickup truck. They run over the flowers. And then it's just, I'm just looking at it going, what are they even doing there? Are they, I'm questioning, are they there to do business? Like, what's going on? And then another car pulls up and they get out and they, no uniform, no nothing, just looking rough. And then they actually break out a ladder and they're going to start painting. And it's just like, okay, well, at least they're painting. Cause I'm going, should I call my neighbor? Like, yeah, what are these people doing there? Cause it doesn't look like your family. And then another one comes up and she's out there picking the flowers and one goes and it's like, they're kind of cleaning up, acting like nothing happened. And I'm going, okay, but now there's an integrity issue here. They're not even telling the homeowner they ran over the flowers. Like, they're just trying to make it look like they didn't do anything.
I mean, I've had people pull up and like, you know, pop cans fall out of the truck door when they open it, you know? And, you know, I remember sitting in front of somebody's house years ago and this guy gets out, he tried to tuck his shirt in, but his gut was too big and his total plumber crack. And he's smoking a cigarette, walking up somebody's driveway and flicks it in their driveway. You know, like all these things, you guys send a message and you guys see it when people will ask a question in some of our forums and or free groups or whatever. And they're like, they'll take a screenshot of how they communicated with somebody and they spelled 18 words wrong. They haven't seen a capital letter in the last 7 years of their life. And that's what I mean. It's how you represent yourself, how you should, you just don't look like you're fucking dialed in. I think there's a lot of subconscious things that happen too. That initial first impression that we have within a couple milliseconds of somebody sends a message. And I think contractors in general need to be a little more mindful of that. Contractor Sales Pros is a place to ask questions and share strategies and best practices to help each other get better as sales professionals in the construction industry. If you want to level up your sales game and hang out with other cool people who are selling great stuff, great services, projects in this industry, head to Facebook and jump into the group that we have there called Contractor Sales Pros today. I don't know, Steve, you just leaned forward. Steve was sitting back. See, I'm reading.
I'm just writing notes because y'all spark a lot of shit. First off, the three of us and now getting to be most of the people in our group, we have something called the curse of knowledge. Because we're so attuned to all these things, we're looking out for it. So when a guy 100%. Shows up and his truck is less than perfect, but I got the biggest one of all that pisses everybody off way before you're even a professional. And that's when you just show up late. Mm-hmm. You show up late for an appointment. 27 years ago, we built this house. We interviewed builders and the third guy coming in was a half hour late. And I remember my wife and I, we got like, this guy's out. I can't put up with this shit. If you can't even show up an appointment late, I'm not having built our $1 million home, you know, under that. But he said the most perfect thing. We knocked on the door. We opened it up and we opened it up squarely to tell him we're done already. Mm-hmm. We're just done because we can't deal with it. But we opened it up and he goes, I bet y'all hate me, don't you? And we were like, what, for being a half hour late? He goes, yeah, because if I was a half hour late on me, I wouldn't hire me either. I mean, he took all our frustration away from us. We couldn't say anything to him worse than that. He just, and we said, okay, come on in. And damn it, he was the guy we hired. And we are so thankful and lucky we were. But there's a typical... The worst of the worst being late, but the best of the best because he knew exactly what to say to disarm us and open up our minds again and hire the guy. But I want to talk just for a second while I got the microphone about something you were talking about earlier, Tom. about the things that weren't being said. And I just have a beautiful little story. This lady calls me up. This is about 6-7 years ago. And I gave her a price of $2,000 on the phone after a picture to clean her pond because it was a mess. She goes, oh, I don't have the money. I'll have to call you back next year, which is total bullshit, right? Well, sure enough, next year she calls me back. She goes, I saved up the $2,000. So I'm ready for you. I'm like, really? Okay, I'll come right out there. So I came out there. She's ready to pay me $2,000. And the husband's standing there and he's not saying one damn word the whole time. And I wrote up a $2,000 drain and clean. And I said, before I give this to you, you, Mr. Husband, you haven't said anything. I said, I like to hear what you think about this whole thing, but I'm going to make it easy for you. I'm going to hand you a magic wand. And I actually did this to him. You know, I actually pretended I handed him and he pretended like he took the magic wand. I said,
that's funny.
Today's everything's free. Just let's pretend everything's free today and you got a magic wand. Tell me what you're thinking about this pond. 30 minutes later, I signed an $18,000 contract to fucking redo his pond. And the problem was, and when he walked away, the wife looks to me and she goes, I cannot believe you got him to spend $18,000. The whole reason it took me a year because I had to save my own money up. Because he's so cheap, he wouldn't spend a penny on this. And all I did was give that man a magic wand and heard the unhearable things that weren't happening first. And it turned in from 2,000 to 18,000 bucks.
Pop quiz. What do most of us think that other spouse is thinking when they're quiet?
Can't believe she's spending this money.
I don't want to do it. It's stupid. It's too much. Blah, blah, blah. No, this guy the whole time is just waiting to be handed that magic wand.
And
because he hates the fucking pond, which is why he didn't want to spend $2,000 on it. Right. So he's like,
I never talked to him since. I was in my communications with her. He still had never said a word, but he got a new pond.
I love it. So you guys, sales is, it's connection. And I think it starts, to me, the sales process starts before you ever have a conversation, you ever see somebody. It's how you show up. It's your trucks in town. It's the brand that you're building. It's how you represent, how your people represent, like Derek was sharing, right? Then you move in to the communication and really hearing people out and digging a little deeper to hear those unheard things. It's not about all the bells and whistles and how great you are and the, you know, type of paintbrush you use and all that other bullshit. Most 99.9% of people could give a shit. I mean, you guys know Dan Sherwood, who's one of our coaches. Dan will be asked people, which I love. He's like, so Derek, have you been to our website? Yeah. Did you poke around and this and that? Yeah. Would you say it's safe to say that we know how to paint? Yeah. Okay. So we probably don't have to talk about any of that now. So let's talk about what's important to you. And then he goes into the motive and he just takes that technical shit, throws it off to the side. Okay. And that right there is being uncommon. I would say one thing that pulls people towards you in the sales process instead of pushing them away is being uncommon.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, no, we're not just running out there and giving you a free bid and playing the same game all the other schmucks are playing. Okay. We're going to put you on our process. You're going to follow our rules. You're going to send us pictures or whatever your process is, you know, and you're going to take control. That's really uncommon. And I think that stands out. Personally, I don't know. Any thoughts on that?
Well, I got a process thought real quick. Now that you say it, before the whole Shin Fu thing, I really didn't have much of a process. It was just like, hello, throw up on him. I didn't have a patient 5-step process. And with a little bit of quiet, sit back. I know where they're running. I know where I want to take them. And I gently take them there by asking the right questions. I didn't have any of that before. It was just like full on. I thought I just had to like get them to pick me right off the bat. And they all pick you on the phone, but then they unpick you when you show up at the house. You know? So
I'm starting to realize that how we used to do it, and just like you're saying, Steve, they have to pick you. If we don't, if it's all about us and we're making we have to be so charismatic and we have to sell them, your business is never going to scale because it is just about you. So you really have to make it about your company. And it's really started. It's becoming, I've been thinking about this for several weeks now, and you guys just hit the nail on the head. It needs to be about your company. And it doesn't need to be about your paintbrush. It doesn't need to be about how awesome you are. It needs to be about your company so that you can segue out of this. Because these large corporations we work with, we don't know who the person really is. Yeah. You know, these big companies, it should be the company, not you.
Absolutely. Well, good stuff. Any final thoughts before we roll out of here for people? Any challenges, anything you want to put out there?
I would say that if you don't have an actual process that even from the second you say hello to the second you do or don't collect a deposit check, if you're not super aware of where you are in that process the whole time, then you're just winging it. Mm-hmm. And you know, you can come find out our process, join our group, or go find your own. But if you don't have a process, then you really don't have much in sales.
Mm-hmm. It's, I would go with, you got to build your brand. You got to build your image. You got to put it in a certain way. It has to be so when they find you, they know what to do so that you don't have to tell them what to do. You just show up and answer those questions.
Love it. And then I'll add, work on you. Do things that are going to develop you as a human being, build your confidence. Confidence is a magnet, you guys. People want to be associated with confident people, people that are dialed in, people that have a plan, people that are representing themselves, their companies, their brands. I'm telling you, it's like, it's same with recruiting a team, right? You guys, nobody wants to go work for somebody that's a shit show, you know? And so I think, just think the more we personally dial in, if you're just and listen, it doesn't, like I said, I'm picking on the weight thing here because I see so many people blow off their health, but like, you know, if you're overweight, that's fine, but are you doing something to get a little bit better every day, right? Are you going for a walk? Are you doing what? Because those things build the confidence. It's not so much about the physical. It's about the way you carry yourself and the confidence, the way you look people in the eye. That's uncommon. Most people don't carry that air about them. And so I think the blend of all these things is going to make you an uncommon salesperson, and you're going to have an uncommon bank account at some point, which is a good thing to have. So, I mean, shit, before we hit record, Steve was telling us how he doesn't know what to do with all his time now. So, Steve, what do you got? You got a good buddy of mine. When his dad retired, I said, how's it going? He says, I got one big problem. I said, what's that? He says, I got more money than time.
Yeah. So, well, you hit that. You hit the, no, really, you have, everybody lives a life of more time than money. And then you hit the right point. But some people mess that up. I met a man on a cruise ship, you know, probably 10 years ago. He said, I totally screwed that up. I should have retired like when I was 65. And he retired like when he was 80. And he has all these apartment buildings. He goes, I just blew so many years because now I got way more money than I could ever spend. Yep. So,
well, Steve, I'll send you a list, some things if you want to spend it on. That's cool. I'm sure Derek's got
right now, I'm spending it on the stock market.
Yeah. I bet you are. It's taking a hit, so Steve's buying. So there you go. Well, good shit. Give us a rating. Give us a review. Appreciate y'all being part of the fight. We're out.
Y'all have a good week.
See ya.